Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today's guest on the show, we have Hannah Hall. Hi, Hannah.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, so Timothy and I both love your work, so we're excited to chat with you.
Thank you.
But before we get into all that, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and giving them a background on who you are and how you got into photography?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, my name's Hannah. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. Grew up in Arkansas originally. I moved over here. I didn't do the whole college thing, and at the time really thought I wanted to work in like film production. So
There you go, Chris.
Yeah. Right. I know that you also did like BTS stills and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's kind of how I got into it. I did theater for like a very long time, which slowly turned into film, which slowly turned into like working on film sets, which slowly turned into like BTS gigs and stuff.
Cool.
Which was super fun. Yeah. I miss it a lot.
Yeah.
But, decided not to do the whole college thing and knew that I wasn't going to be learning where I was in the capacity that I wanted to. So came to Nashville and I've been here for like almost 2 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, sweet.
But yeah, that's pretty much that.
So were you, for the film production stuff, were you doing just photography or did you start off doing other aspects of like the film world?
So I started acting actually, which is crazy because I hate being in front of a camera now. as I feel most photographers feel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I started acting and then slowly but surely got like, I was saw all the people with the camera kind of over there and I like dabbled in like just like taking pictures of friends and stuff. I thought it was fun, but I thought the idea of somebody being able to use like this block of like glass and metal to like create like a story, something start to finish, was so fascinating. And I found myself kind of just like watching more of what they were doing than not, and slowly started doing kind of like assistant camera work and helping out with that. And so that was around my junior year of high school. I would drive back and forth to and from another city, like kind of close to where I grew up, and work on like student film sets with college there. And then that kind of slowly transitioned into me just like bringing my camera along and taking pictures of people doing things and then like eventually getting paid to do that, you know? So,
That's the best when that happens.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, sure. Definitely. When you didn't know it was a job that existed.
Yeah. I remember when I found out it was a job that existed, like photography on sets, I was like, that's it. That's what I meant to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you don't sleep for 4 days straight and you're like,
right, exactly.
This is what I meant to do. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's 4 a.m. on night 5 and this is great.
Oh my God. Am I crying or is it sweat? I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So when did you transition out of that?
So around that time too, I was shooting primarily like BTS photography. And then anytime I would have free time, I just wanted to be behind a camera. So I've been doing it on and off for like 5 years now or so. But at that specific portion of my life, kind of towards the end of high school, I was really kind of dealing with the idea of like going to school for theater or not going to college at all and just like trying to do the photo thing because I was doing it full time at that point. And I graduated high school my junior year of high school. So like junior, senior, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. So, so around that time, I was just kind of like, all right, I'm going to do as much of both as possible and see which one I get tired of. And it just like made me fall so much more in love with portraiture and kind of like the concept of photography being able to convey a lot of the same stories and carry a lot of the same weight as film in like certain aspects. And it's something that I myself can do like with my two hands.
Yeah.
So that was around 2017 was when I graduated high school. And then I just kind of jumped in headfirst, got my business license, started doing it a little bit more, really, really fell in love with portraiture and like people. And that's kind of what I do now. It's just like a lot of portraits. I mean, living in Nashville, which Timothy, you get, it's like all music photography, which is amazing. But that's primarily what I do now is like musicians, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely the place to be for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, dude. It's actually overwhelming sometimes. but I don't know. The concept of being able to like, I don't know, like leech off of other people's art in like certain ways.
You get
a product and like a person in front of you and you like that's like kind of like the center of the jigsaw puzzle and you get to like fill in all of the edge pieces like with photography. I think that's like what I love about photographing musicians is so much is like you're just like matching their energy in like a lot of ways, like, aesthetically or visually, I should say.
Yeah, I was talking about that. I'd recorded with another podcast last night about film photography, and I grew up being a musician and music was my primary focus, you know, pretty much until my mid to late 20s. And he asked me a question of like, do you see like the similarities in music and photography? And it's pretty crazy because I never really thought of it, you know, because I picked up photography later in life and have only really been doing it for about 7 or 8 years. And there's just this, like how I explained it last night was just that creative people, and I hate using the word creatives, you know, like it's so overused these days and saturated. Yeah. But when you're like a creative person, you're just like oozing creativity, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, of course, like musicians also pick up cameras and painters also play guitar and stuff, you know what I mean? Because we're just like, that's just how we are. We're that way, you know? It's pretty cool though. Like, I get it. There's like an ebb and flow of working with musicians too. Like, I've shot some bands and stuff. Yeah. I don't really do stuff like that anymore, but I always love doing portrait sessions with musicians because they're down to do whatever you want to do too. They're just like, hey, do you want to like hang off this bridge or what, you know, like they'll do it. They'll do it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We did a shoot like a couple of days ago and we kind of turned a Lysol can into a flamethrower so we could catch some flowers on fire. And I was like, I don't have to touch the flames. Like, I got these guys doing it. But yeah, that's so fun. Like, specifically like promotional work over like live shooting shows. Like, there's like an adrenaline to shooting like live work in the same way that there's an adrenaline to shooting like behind the scenes stills and stuff like that. But I think being able to kind of methodically merge two like art forms and like create a finished product out of that is like so satisfying. It's so fun.
I think for me too, like the camera for me was like a way to be a part of those worlds. I started shooting bands in high school and like I still work with some musicians out in LA too. And it like to go on tour with a musician or a band is like still on my bucket list, you know?
You
know, like... And for me, it's like my way of being a part of that. I'm not a musician. I can't play anything. I can't sing. Like, I'm not an actor. I can't, you know, but I get to like be a fly on the wall to be like, you know, capture all that magic as it happens. And I think that's my favorite part of.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of like not good at anything, but I happen to be like better at this than those other things. So it's I don't know. I think that's like the whole thing about photography, too. Like, it's a huge group of extremely observant, curious people, you know? And like, I don't know about the two of you, but like the concept of just like picking one thing to photograph or like one niche to like follow for the rest of my life sounds so stressful to me.
Yeah.
So I think that's the beautiful thing about photography is that it's so moldable and applicable to like 1,000 different things. Cause like I could have a blast shooting real estate photography, you know, in the same way that I would like absolutely love to shoot like a black metal band. So it's there's like something interesting about all of it. Portraiture above all else, like for me personally, but like it's all, I don't know, you just like get to like live in a bunch of different worlds in like ways that you can't do with other mediums, I think.
Absolutely.
So true. Yeah. I love too. One thing that I started realizing since this whole COVID thing happened and, you know, we're kind of stuck inside and I've been doing a lot of like still life stuff lately. One thing that I feel like I've always been like missing with my photography was the inward looking, like looking in and trying to kind of convey something through an image.
Exactly.
Like I feel like you can do that when you're doing like documentation stuff. Like I do a lot of street photography or like friend photography, like just kind of documenting life. And one thing that I feel like I was never really thinking of was looking inward. And I'm really trying to take advantage of this time and doing stuff like that now. So I don't know where I was going with that, but that's
no, I think that's so valid. I don't know, not being able to like be around human beings and like photograph them and stuff like that. I've seen so many photographers kind of doing like through the window or like on the front porch and stuff like that.
Yes.
But I think this specific time in life, like no matter how terrible it is, there are so many little silver linings in it, because I don't know about you guys, but I am constantly like, God, I just like wish time would stop for a second. Like I just I just want to slow down and like be able to think about why I'm doing this instead of just like shooting and editing constantly. I would love to sit down and plan something out methodically and like why, you know, like what is the purpose of me making something like this? And I think this specific time is so interesting for that, in that we are forced to, which is moderately frustrating. But I think I feel clearer about the work that I want to make and like why than I ever have. And I think it's because so many other things have been pulled away from you, like, you know, work in general, but also social relationships and like being able to go to the grocery store like whenever you want. It's just like all of these other things are like gone, but you still have your camera in front of you and a lot of time to ask yourself a lot of questions. So I think that's like, it's so cool, because I've been doing the same, just like a good bit of still life, a lot of kind of wandering around the neighborhood photographing trash cans.
True.
My fiance's dad sent like an article. He's like, show this to Christine, and it was like pictures of people in masks from like the swine flu back in, you know, the early 1900s. And you know, those photos are important, but I don't know if I want to like document this whole thing in that aspect, you know. I'd rather go take pictures of dark garbage cans in the meantime, you know.
I mean, Timothy, I don't know if you like came to Nashville after the whole tornado happened, but that was such a crazy, like shocking thing that was so close. It happened it happened like four blocks up from my house, like on the north side at the time.
Wow.
We were totally fine. It's kind of weird because it's something that everybody around you is like experiencing. So it almost feels wrong to document that in a lot of ways, or like just like the face of it in a lot of ways. Like, I'll take a photo of like a discarded mask, like in a parking lot, you know, but I don't. It's like, I don't know, these are all things that everybody's seeing all the time that are, you know, what with the tornado damage and all too. I found a lot of interest in trying to like balance if I thought it was like okay to be walking around and like photographing things like that, or what the like the value of doing that was and stuff.
Yeah, I keep asking myself that too, because I'm the type of person that carries, I have a camera around my neck every time we leave the house,
100%,
you know, and I keep asking myself when I go out, I'm just like, ooh, I want to get the shot of people with the masks on or the gloves and stuff. And then I'm just like, you know, I pull the camera up and I'm just like, is this too much?
Yeah.
Do I do that? There's like this conflict inside of me that's
exactly.
Don't do it, but get the shot, you know?
Yeah. That's like so applicable to everything too, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, like you think about photographers that go like in war zones and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
And it's images like that are important, you know? But in the same vein, trying to like find the courage in yourself to take a photo like that, you know?
Yeah.
And like give it value and like give it power. I like struggle with that a lot on the daily.
Same here.
So we'll leave it to the photojournalists.
I was just gonna say, there's definitely people like, out there capturing that stuff.
Dude, they can have it. That's great. So much respect to people like that. So much respect.
For sure.
Yeah.
That was always my dream gig.
Photojournalist?
Yeah, but I just don't have the cojones to go get
it's
in
rough.
People's faces like that. I don't know. I care too much of what people think of me.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, no, I'm sorry.
No, I get that completely. I feel like the exact same way.
Yeah.
So Hannah, before all this COVID stuff happened, what was like something recent you've been working on? We saw that you've been featured in a lot of really cool places. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I just started shooting film actually in November. So I'm very new.
Welcome.
Thank you. I I've been shooting digital for, I guess, close to 5 years now. And I had a buddy that, actually, Timothy, you know him, Lucas Etchison.
Oh, yeah, Lucas. Dude, so yeah, for sure.
I lived with Lucas for like a while. He's like,
oh, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
He's my
all right.
Favorite person. I absolutely adore him.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Oh, dude, he's stubborn. And he forced a Zin Zebronica on me and was like, you have to shoot film. Like, you have to.
Yes.
And I am so thankful to him for doing that because, yeah, I shot my first role of a friend of mine who actually just moved to LA, which is super fun.
Oh, cool.
And there was just, in like a way that is like super cliche, there was just like something about the way that it felt in my hands, like the weight of it, mm-hmm. you know? And I just like basically held it hostage for like 3 months and then ended up switching over to Mamiya RB67. So that's what I'm rocking
cool.
right now.
Yes.
Oh, dude, she's a chunk. Her name's Gertha.
I know.
But,
perfect name.
Thank you. Just kind of through all of that, I mean, I think I was pretty late to the film wagon in Nashville. But film here is like such a heavy part of like the photo culture, which I find like so interesting. And so I knew that I wanted to do something with film, just like with the kind of nostalgia of it. Because I think I've been kind mm-hmm. of toying with the idea for a while of Nashville is home, but it's like not final landing ground. So to answer your question about current projects, I have so much love for this city and for the people in it. And so I decided that I would kind of start compiling a zine and working with a lot of like important people in my life, but also a lot of people that I just like feel like look like Nashville, you know? So it's a portrait of Nashville, but through the faces of the individuals that move in it and kind of like fine details thereof. So yeah, a lot of like, you know, tattoo artists and like cafe people and
cool.
like musicians, obviously. But I combo of like wanting to do something that was like a complete piece that wasn't just one shoot, that was something that could be like folded together. And also just like, I think because I do live away from my family now, I've had a few moments with them within the last like few months or so where they just kind of don't really know what my life looks like or like what my world looks like. And I think that's how a lot of the people that are closest to me that are like all over the country do. And so equally for for me, kind of like, you know, taking all of these crazy little things that are like jumbled up in my head and like forcing them into one object. it's also just kind of, you know, a reflection of like, this is what people might age look like and the people that like move in these spaces. Yeah, just like through film as the medium, which is something that I'm pretty excited about. So
but it's exciting. I love that.
Thank you so much. It's not super original, but I'm having a great time.
you know
steal from the best, right?
You gotta do it. You gotta do it. Whatever makes you, whatever gets the juices flowing is like,
yeah,
you know.
And also too,
you can't apologize.
I mean, just like doing portrait photography and being able to like sit down with somebody that maybe you like don't know them super well, but you mm-hmm. like move through the same spaces, or it's like your manager from like a couple years ago that like you haven't mm-hmm. been able to like sit down and like have a conversation with in a while, be able to just like talk with them and hang out with them and photograph them in their spaces, you know. I think I've found so much more fulfillment out of that than I have out of a lot of like previous more like editorial or like hands-on projects in that sense. Just kind of being able to like photograph people and like be like with people, it just like makes it feel like closer to home. You know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Man, I miss that so much. Just hearing you talk about it. I miss just hanging out with somebody for a couple hours and shooting a bunch of photos. And
it's something you take for granted, too. And like normal day-to-day.
Yeah.
I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with the film stuff, are you using that for editorial as well? Or is that just strictly personal work stuff?
I use it pretty much for everything now. So I do still have a digital setup that I use for projects that it's necessary for. But I've almost completely switched over to entirely 120. I haven't shot 35mm. I would love to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've shot one roll on a friend's camera that I ruined. So, So I just jumped in with 120. And it just, like, the anticipation quality, but also just the, with 120 itself, I feel like it has a really interesting way of capturing a person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like all in the eyes, you know? There's just like this weird like power to the photos that like you just can't get with digital. And I think, you know, for the kind of work that I do, which is typically a bit moodier, kind of editorial, a little conceptual, but like with Music Center, it's just like the perfect like medium for that, you know?
That's great that you've switched over. I still, especially if I have a paid gig with somebody, you know, I'll always still bring the digital.
Oh, I always bring it just in case.
Yeah.
Because like you never know what could happen. I always bring it just in case. And I typically do like if I'm doing like a paid project for somebody that I don't know super well, I'll do digital backups of all of the film shots that I have taken just in case.
Yeah. They like to see it too.
Oh,
it'd
yeah.
be hard to convince, like, you're not going to see these for like a week at least. Like what?
Exactly. Yeah. No, actually the lab that I go through is pretty quick and it's typically like 2 days or so. And I've definitely done a couple shoots Southbound Film Lab, just like a little slide in there.
Shout out.
They're impeccable. I love those guys so much. But I'll typically like do that, and I've had a couple of sessions before where like I've just botched the film, like it's been my bad entirely, and I've been like, all right guys, we gotta like reshoot it, this one's on me. You know? But that's like how you learn, you know? It's like all fun and games and stuff like that. I think working primarily with other artists, you know, and like with music and stuff like that, everybody's so understanding and everybody's like so willing to work with you.
Yeah, man, especially with that Mamiya.
That's
my favorite camera.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, it is. It just has a look to it that I mean, it's almost like large format portraits. That's what the Mamiya 6-7 always reminds me of. Like it just has that depth, like you said. Like if you nail the focus on the eyes, and it just looks so good. Like
My gosh, yeah. I just started shooting on Fujifilm film instead of Kodak, and the flesh toning with that in combo with the Mamiya, like it's just like I don't know. Otherworldly, you might say.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it. Yeah.
Which Fujifilm are you shooting?
Right now I'm just shooting 400. Yeah. It's like 120.
Like the 400H?
Yeah. 400H.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super nice. I was just like bebopping through like all of the 120 Kodaks to like test them out, and then like a bunch of Ultra Delta, because I'm like a black and white gal through and through.
I was gonna ask, is that where like is that like your brand, the gray people? Is that where can we talk about that a little bit?
I knew you were gonna ask this question because everybody does, and it's the lamest story ever. So like the gray people has actually been my Instagram handle since before I started shooting.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I'm like a huge bad horror like nerd through and through, and I was reading I was reading a book series when I was like I was probably I had like 12 or 13 maybe. Yeah. And that's what they call the zombies in like the books that I was reading, is the gray people. And then I started shooting and it just kind of stuck, and now I can't change it, but I love it. So yeah, that is like the brand more so. A lot of people think my name is Gray, or a lot of people think it's like a cult or like kind of like a collective. But yeah, that's why that is.
That's kind of like with you, Timothy. People think makeup, like you sell makeup,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like I'm like a makeup artist or something.
Not?
And it's...
He looks
it's
like
so
one.
Good. See, I love the mystery.
That
no, it's just one of those things,
real.
You know?
It's just all painted on you.
Yeah. I just started making like electronic music, and makeup's just... fit. It sounded good next to my name. Like it was kind of like a makeup, make believe, make like he makes up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And now I'm just a makeup artist. When I'm, you know, I'm at Kroger, like putting in my email address for some coupon or something like that. Ooh. And they're like, "Oh, damn, you do makeup?" And I'm like, "No, I'm sorry."
People always spell mine with an E first, and then they're just like, "Is that about aliens?" So that's like always the question.
Oh, the grays. That's so good.
Oh, yeah, the gray.
Yes.
But, Chris, what about you? Instagram handle?
Yeah, I know. I was going to just start. I was like, mine's pretty straightforward. Although I had somebody message me once wanting to, like, buy it off me because my handle's Crispy Photo. And that he was like, hey, I'm a photographer, professional photographer, and my last name's whatever with a B. And so like I don't even think he offered me money. I think he was just like, would you be willing to let me have the handle? And I was like,
what?
And you're like, I was like, hi, like I'm a professional photographer as well, and no thank you, I'm gonna keep off, it. I was like, I mean, good for him for trying, you know.
Yeah
I
worth
guess.
A shot. Yeah, I guess.
I would have been like $25,000. I know. I've been like, and you can have
could
it.
Could I put a price on it? Because that's also been my brand since the beginning.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I have an AOL email address with Crispy Photo.
Oh, man.
AOL. Yeah. Jeez. You know?
I thought it would be funny for like a day or two to just change mine to the gay people and see who noticed. but unfortunately, that one's already taken. So I guess I got to stick with my normal brand. You know?
So what are some of your plans for the future with your photography? What are you looking forward to?
Honestly, I think I'm just looking forward to being able to like shoot again just in general. I think
I feel that.
Yeah. In terms of like big solid future plans, I'm not entirely sure like what that looks like. I would love to eventually maybe move to like a larger city and like pursue an internship or something like that. I've been interning with a photo studio, workspace with a photo studio in it here in town for I guess almost a year now, which is very fun. And I absolutely adore it and like working with other creatives. And I've been doing that alongside like taking photos and making a lot of coffee, like so much.
Yeah.
So I would love to be able to kind of jump in and like freelance full time eventually. Mm. I'm pretty picky about like the work that I take. So I understand that that's going to have to be adjusted a little bit. But so I would love to like pursue an internship of some kind, maybe with another photographer or like a media company or something like that. I think that would be really fun. I think there's so much to be said for really actively trying to surround yourself with people that are like so much better than you, being the dumbest person in the room. And I kind of find that Timothy, I don't know if you like feel this with the photo community in Nashville, but it feels like extremely scattered in a lot of ways.
It does.
It's like it's so like everybody's phenomenal and everybody like keeps in touch, but like you don't work together a lot, you know, just because of the kind of work there is. And so I think I miss that a lot, like being able to like actively be around people who are shooting all the time.
Yeah, I definitely feel that.
Yeah. For sure. It's it's like not a good or a bad thing, you know. It's just like
it's just how it is.
But some of my favorite photographers on the planet are here, and have been like kind enough to come, like let me, you know, watch them do their thing. So it's been fun.
That's cool.
But like, in terms of future plans, I guess it's just kind of like actively like putting myself in like spaces to learn, because I think just let time unfold the way that it does, and shoot as much as possible.
It's so true with things that you want to do. Like when I was into skateboarding, you know, here's a prime example.
I would hang out
with people that skated like a million times better than me. Yes, it was embarrassing that I couldn't keep up, you know, when we were going, but later in time, like when you're with people like that, your skill level just kind of like skyrockets because you're around people that are so, you know, creative or daring or, you know, I think it's important that you kind of like, it's one of those you are what you eat situations like if you roll with people that are like doing what you want to do, you're going to end up doing that, you know what I mean? So it's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, like everybody skin their knees, you know, everyone's dropped a knee on their face, like you're fine.
Yeah.
Like you're good. Everybody, like the people that matter will get it, and they'll like hold your hand and like kind of show you the way, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, that's sick that you skateboarded though. I can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It was my life. I still have a board set up right over there. I'm terrified to get on it because, you know, I'm old now.
I've been on a penny board one time and I drove it straight into a wall, and I have not touched one since.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super brave, though, that you kind of just didn't do the college thing. I mean, there's so many pluses and minuses with getting out and doing what you want to do and not having... I feel like sometimes college can be like an excuse to chill for another 4 years or 2 years or 8 years of when you could be like grabbing this world by the balls and like going for it, you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of courage in that. I'm proud
Thank
of you.
Like for me, like I like needed that school time
Some people need it like that too. Yeah, for
sure. Like, the me now who's like learned so much in this business is like, man, I wish I just would like move to LA straight after high school, or like move to at least right after photography school. Cause I kind of hung out in Connecticut and shot weddings and did like the normal, and I don't say normal, but like, you know, that kind of thing, like family portraiture and stuff. And I kind of wish that I had just gone straight away to LA and, you know, started assisting or, you know, trying to get on film sets back in the day. But it's everybody's path.
It's like, honestly, like, I think all the time about like what my life would look like if I had gone to school, and like I would have gone if I didn't have the parents that I have. I'm like remarkably thankful for them because like around like, you know, end of junior year was kind of like working in film a little bit, was shooting like weddings here and there, was doing senior photos. Photography was like, I thought film was like it, and I thought acting might be it, but I knew that it was like, I knew that it was film at that time. And I was like in like crazy turmoil of, okay, like, do I go to school for musical theater? Like, do I try and go for film? Like, what do I want to do with this? And like photo was just something that I like did, you know, that I like cared about a lot, but was not interested in pursuing. And I think it was primarily in the capacity, that I was pursuing it in. So probably similar to you, Chris, just, you know, doing weddings and things like that. Wedding photographers are a different species. They're the strongest beings. And like, I knew that I didn't want to do that. I knew that I did not have the stamina for that. And yeah, my folks were just kind of like, hey, so like, you're looking at all these like art schools that are like 75K a year, and you don't know if that's exactly what you want to do. What if you just don't go? What if you just don't go to college? What if you just try and do it now? And I was like, I can do that? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, dang. And so, yeah, I initially had set out to take a gap year. And I worked for Paramount for like a little bit doing that, and like a couple production studios and stuff, just through Arkansas, you know, and shot like constantly. And I knew that I had made the right decision, and my parents like supported me in every step of the way through all of that.
So that's so important.
They are superhuman. I love them so much. And I would never have taken that step. I always thought that it was something that would be expected of me, but they're both artists. And so like, I think they understood that it's so much more valuable sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes to like just put yourself in those situations and like try, you know? Just give it a go. Like we were saying a minute ago, you know, be the worst person in the room and like learn from the people around you. People love to talk about the things that they love, you know? And
That's why we're here right now.
So like that's exactly it. That's how you learn. So yeah, it doesn't feel like an entirely like brave decision, because I've had like people like, you know, literally holding me up the entire way and just like supporting every step. So,
Can I ask you, what was your job at Paramount? Were you doing photography for them, or was it other stuff?
I did BTS stills and some promo photos for like a minute for Ink Master Angels when I was like 17. Yeah, I did that, which was so fun. Yeah, it was so great. Cool. Thanks. Stupid opportunity, honestly. Went with the wrong person for sure. Was not qualified to do that, but
stop.
It was great. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, it was so fun. It was so fun. But I was just kind of like, what am I doing here? Like, how did they find me?
So did you get to do any like celebrity stuff?
Yeah, so I did all the promo photos of the hosts for that show, for the episode that they did in Arkansas. Yeah, which was great. And then did like a couple short films like here and there with some names that were really, really cool opportunities just to get to learn on and stuff. Yeah, so as you can see, big love for film and film, you know?
Yeah. Do you think I'll ever go back to that? I know you're kind of...
Yeah, I was just going to ask
that. You know, you're kind of...
I don't think so, honestly. I love it so much and I miss it a lot. But I think I have more to say with photo. And I mean, like, you know how like working BTS is and stuff like that, or like just working on productions in general. I mean, it's like, you know, 10 to 12 hour days, like 4 or 5 days in a row. Don't see the sun for a while.
Right.
Like, and that was so fun. But and like working like in such close quarters with people who were all working towards a common goal was really, really fun. But I think being able to like have autonomy and creativity like outside of that,
yeah.
like not just showing up on a set and like fulfilling a function, which has like a lot of like creativity to it, but being able to like create something from nothing on my own, I find so much more appealing.
Here's my next question.
Yes. Yeah.
would you ever consider directing?
I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you're giving me that vibe. Like you love, you know, that aspect of storytelling, you know, that I feel like you would do really well.
Thank you. Thanks.
Doing that.
I directed a little short film and like a music video too here and there.
Yes. But, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever?
That's like my next thing. Someday I would love to direct either a small short film or like a music video.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just I love the community of, I used to work, when I first moved down here, I worked for my uncle and he does like all that music video, big Nashville ballet set, like any Nashville ballet photo poster you see or something, like he did the photo work and the video stuff for it. And I would assist, you know, I'd be his, you know, he'd hand me his big camera and I'd just, you know, basically assisted him, whatever he needed, you know, shot some B-roll stuff as well. But there's just this, there's this camaraderie on a set that you can't really get when you're doing like the lone wolf, like portrait work, you know, stuff by yourself, that is really, really cool. But the thing that kills me with that, and this is just personally, like there's no, you kind of just take the SD card out of the camera at the end of the gig and hand it off. Mm-hmm. And it's, I need photography to be my baby. So doing stuff like that is so hard for me.
That's why Agatha has the dream. We interviewed a set photographer and she's works in England, like in the UK, and she shoots all on film, but she doesn't do like the typical on set photography. She does like the promotional photos, like portraits to be used for
that is like, that is end goal. Yeah. That would be insane.
That's like the dream. Yeah.
That is the dream. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, no, I entirely get what you're saying. Because, like, I think, like, you get that camaraderie in a certain sense on a photo set. I prefer, like, with photography not to work on larger sets. Like, I think photography is incredibly intimate. And I think it should, for, like, my work, like, whether that's commission or personal work, like, I like to keep it pretty intimate. But I think there's just something about being trapped in a really hot studio or, like...
Yeah.
Underneath like a tarp in the pouring rain, you know, for like 3 or 4 days with a group of people that you've never met before and like probably won't see again. There's something super interesting about that. I think it's like
definitely.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, another reason that we shoot, I guess, too, is just kind of being incredibly fascinated with like human beings and like just like things around you and like learning about it. So that was really cool because then you get them in, you know, manageable spurts.
right.
Yes.
So do you think you'll ever try out any other formats, like large format or 35?
I would absolutely love to. Yeah, I have a buddy with a large format that I'm slowly buttering him up to see if I can borrow before I invest. But yeah, like I said, I've only been shooting film for, you know, a little over 6 months now. And yeah, I find it fascinating. I love to like learn how to develop my own eventually. I don't know if either of you do that, but you do. Okay, cool, awesome. But yeah, I would love to eventually learn about that as well. I think right now, in terms of like film stuff, I have not really had the opportunity in like a little while to experiment with that, with like artificial lighting and things like that. So I think next move for me would, I would love to like, you know, kind of experiment with like a strobe setup with them. Yeah. So that's probably the next move with that.
Ooh, that's kind of funny because I learned in school on strobe and stuff, and we shot back then, told this story a few times on the show, but it was in the early 2000s. So we got Mamiya 645 AFD was our film camera, and we learned lighting and stuff on film.
That's awesome.
Which is, yeah, but I haven't shot on film in the studio like since.
Oh man.
Yeah. So yeah. Mm. So it's like when you say, I want to relearn that too, because it's been forever.
Yeah. I think I've with like studio stuff so far, I primarily shoot film in studio because I primarily shoot in studio, but I only use like natural lighting. Which is on it, like just like inconsistent, you know? And so, just like
a cloud goes past, you're done.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wait 20
and then
minutes.
I have to
now.
Push my film 2 stops and like, and cry into my bill you know. No, but yeah, studio with film is like so interesting because it's such a balancing act. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it is like yeah. regardless, but I found it super interesting just like in the retouching process, you know, just like kind of like if you have to like clean up a backdrop or something like that. Yeah, like with film itself, it's been a really fun challenge.
Yes.
I love that.
We'll be right back with our listener interaction for Hannah right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk also comes from Polaroid Originals. Go to PolaroidOriginals.com and use the offer code AnalogTalk10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase.
All right, guys, where we break off and give some of the hard questions for Hannah. And so Hannah,
this
desert island that we have that I was just explaining to you a little bit ago, it does have a film lab on it and unlimited supply of film. So you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
It's the best island ever.
Incredible.
But if you could only choose one camera for the rest of your life, you're stuck on this island. What is it going to be?
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Okay, honestly, I know I shoot with a Mamiya, but I think I would take that little Zenzebronica. Yeah,
okay.
I feel like I could I feel like I could climb a tree easier with that guy. He's a little smaller.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely,
saying?
For sure.
So I think practicality, Zenzebronica, out of the ones that I've shot on, for sure, that would be the dude.
Man, nice. Sweet. So was that one the 6.45?
Yeah,
or was
6.45.
It 6x6?
6.45.
Yeah.
It was Lucas's. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, he, that poor camera is no longer, but yeah.
Oh, no.
I know. Film, right?
Yeah, seriously. May it rest in peace.
Oh, yeah.
Great answer for that one. And now we have, this one's always hard for me, especially because hearing guests say that they're not lusting after anything, I just want to like grab through the computer screen and be like, why? But this is our white whale camera question. Is there a camera out there that you've like always wanted to try or have had your eye on and haven't just had a chance to do it yet?
Mm. Ooh. Okay. I would love to try large format. Just like, any kind of large format, if we're talking film. I would love to just be like the kind of person that carries around one of the big guys and does like the, you know, the seat over my head, and I like wear a top hat everywhere. Like, I feel like that is like the dream. Keep a cat in my camera bag. That'd be dope. I would love to try large format for portraiture sometime. I think in terms of like a digital camera that I would love to try, any of the Fujifilm like medium format digital cameras.
Yeah.
I just recently switched away from Fujifilm for digital setup. I was like,
oh.
Yeah, I just came back to Canon.
What'd you get?
I had a 5D Mark III last year, and then primarily shot on like a 24. And then I had an existential crisis, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And so I sold it, and I bought a plane ticket to Europe, and I backpacked for a little while.
Oh,
that's cool. That's at least a good trip if you're going to sell a camera.
Oh, it was great. A lot of crazy stuff happened, you know, nearly kidnapped, got a bunch of cool photos of dogs.
Oh, like.
I'm fine, you know, like I made it back.
Yeah.
So it was a beautiful trip. But yeah, I sold my 5D Mark III. I was just like super overwhelmed. That was like around this time last year, actually, like end of March around there is when I went. But yeah, sold that, bought a plane ticket, bought an X-T3, Fujifilm X-T3, which is what I've used for the last like year or so and have like loved it so much. And then I just recently, a couple weeks ago, got the 5D Mark III again.
So, nice.
Yeah. So another existential crisis, but like back to the big boy, you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. The 5D is like one of the most like innovative cameras ever. I think it was like the 5D Mark II when they threw video on that thing.
Dude.
It just like changed the game.
It changed everything. Yeah. People were making movies on those things.
Yeah, I shot a music video this past weekend on it. And I'm so stoked about it. Yeah, it feels good to have like a big boy professional camera again too, you know? Like but also I feel ridiculous with like a 5D Mark III and like a 24-70 on like one shoulder and then my Mamiya on the other, and I'm like, here you go. Like, ready to go. You know?
It's a good look.
Oh man.
Thank you.
I miss I missed my 5D. I had a Mark III for a small amount of time, and then I was, you know, the stubborn film guy and was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm putting it up for sale. So
yeah. What are you, do you have a digital setup now?
I just shoot, it's a Sony A6300. Okay. It's just one of the little mirrorless dudes, but I mean, for what it is, it, you know, I just use it for video stuff if I mess around with video.
And yeah.
I've been trying to take some stills with it just to, you know, why not? I'm sure the shutter count's like 500 photos on it or something, because I only ever used it for video.
I was going to say less than that.
Yeah.
Like 27 or something.
Yeah, yeah, for real. I'm so stubborn. You don't understand.
It's
I'm
just a like, potato with like a lens jammed into it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
And I've started using my iPhone a lot lately too, like really trying to be more creative with that, like using it as a kind of like a journal to go back to with film. I don't see through the EV finder is so weird on these Sony cameras. Mm-hmm. It's like, doesn't feel weird. It looks like I'm looking into like an alternate reality, and like, I don't know. It's just bizarre to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's interesting. What do you, just like out of sheer curiosity, what do you guys think of the shoots that portrait photographers are doing right now that are like FaceTime shoots? It's like the screenshotting.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
So at first I didn't really understand how it was happening. Like, are they screenshots?
I think they're screenshots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people are shooting the computer. Like, they're like,
I mean,
I could be wrong. That's what I was thinking it was.
Like FaceTime calls, and they've been screenshotting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I don't know. I'm not, I've seen them. I just haven't, it's really not my thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah.
I've seen some really good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen some really cool stuff, and
yeah,
I'm like,
same.
Wow.
Quarantine art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, anything to keep it going.
I know.
You know?
Seriously.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like, it's so cool because that's something I never would have thought of, you know?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Also, those models, like, good on you. Finding that light.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. You might be like, okay, so back up just a little more. Just turn, like, I don't know how, I mean...
I'm sure it's possible. I mean, it's possible. People are doing it.
I bet it's like a very fun like challenge in like kind of directing subjects. Because I find a lot of the time when I am shooting people, I forget that I am like also there and like have a body. Like, I'm not just a camera that's floating around, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, I think in terms of like that, being able to like be like extremely present and like looking someone in the eyes while you're doing something, like that's really cool. Instead of, you know, just like behind a block, you know?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, but keeping your, whatever keeps your creative juices flowing, all for it.
Yeah.
Well, this has been such a good conversation, Hannah. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to meet you, and I'm excited to like see where you go with the film photography.
Same.
Thing.
Thank
gonna,
you
like,
so much. I appreciate
it. Low-key stalk you.
Literally already talking about the business. You know?
Where can our listeners check out your work and stuff? Can they find you?
So my Instagram is at the Gray People, GRAY. Yeah, and then my website is just thegraypeople.com. Shoot me a message, whatever.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, head over to Instagram. I'm at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. Go to the search bar. Easiest way to find is type in Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of stuff there. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And we have a Facebook page you can like, and a group you can join and share photos and talk to each other and all that jazz. And that's it. And again, Hannah,
yay.
Thank you so much.
This was like a super inspiring
conversation.
Oh,
we really appreciate it.
Thank you. So nice to meet you too as well.
Awesome.
Yay.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
Bye. First off, we want to thank Hannah for coming on the show. Thanks for telling us your story and all that fun stuff. We really appreciate you. It was very inspiring and interesting. Thanks, Hannah. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For $1, you can get the show 2 days early on Monday. And we have a bunch of other stuff over there. We've been doing Patreon after shows, Patreon exclusives, and just a bunch of other fun stuff. So head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Check it out. And yeah, we appreciate each and every one of the patrons already. And guys, until next week, we will see you soon. Later.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.